Right, well, if you think it's so bloody easy, Gemma Phelps, you have a bloody go at it. I'm going home. I'll see you all later.
OK, I will. Hi, welcome to the How of Timber and Building Supplies 1840 podcast. I'm your host, Gemma Phelps. 3, 2, 1, yeah! Around 7,000 people have stood on the summit of Everest. About 2,000 have rode the Atlantic. Soon, Johnny Towers and Sean Phelps will add two more names to that list. Johnny is a roofer by trade and a customer of ours. Used to long days, tough weather and hard graft, but nothing in his working life compares to the 3,200 miles of ocean ahead. But he won't face it alone. Rowing beside him is his closest friend, Sean Phelps, a man he first met in the Royal Marines. Their bond was built through early mornings, shared pressure and a level of trust that only comes from an experience. Now that partnership is being put to the test in one of the world's most demanding endurance challenges, a crossing they're undertaking to raise awareness and support for mental health. Please welcome Johnny Towers and Sean Phelps from Changing Tides Row.
Paul, you're sacked.
3, 2, 1, yeah! Well, that's the first time I've ever been kicked out of the host seat by the wife of one of my guests. Unfortunately, she did an amazing job, far better than I can do, so I probably lost my seat forever. I don't suppose you two have got a spare place in your boat, have you, that I can join you on? Johnny, Sean, thank you for joining me. Should we start with you, Johnny? Can you explain why you're doing what you're doing?
Well, I was a late comer to it, really. Originally, Sean set this up in, was it December 2023, when you were going to do it?
That's when it all started.
When it all started
for me, yeah.
But I'll let Sean explain it, how it all came about. Go on.
So, yeah, I was sat in Nando's with my wife in December 2023, and I got a text message from a guy saying, all right, mate, do you want to row the Atlantic?
As you do.
And that was how it started. And I was part of a crew then. It went on for a few months, and there was a few red flags. And in the end, I just thought, this isn't the right time for me with this crew. But then I'd had the contacts of the guy that owned the company with the boats. And I had a special idea that I thought had never been done before as an ex-prison officer to row it with two inmates. So that's what I set up. I was in touch with these guys, ex-prisoners, nice chaps, doing really well for theirself. And for a good few months, that worked out and we were cracking on. But things broke down a little bit. I don't think they realised the enormity of the task to get to the start line.
What's been the hardest part? Is it kind of raising the funds to do it?
Definitely raising the funds.
Yeah. Constant raising awareness of the charities, raising money, not wanting to let people down, you know, because this Johnny was me plan C in the end, you know, and Johnny approached me early doors and said, I want to do it with you. And I was really tempted, but it didn't fit our narrative at the time, the prison officer and the ex-prisoners.
Yep.
But obviously one of the James dropped out in the end, and I said to my wife, there's only one man for the job. And I sent Johnny a text.
Where were you? Not signing Nando's.
He was on his way to a Blackburn game.
I was on the coach to Sheffield United game with Blackburn.
And I sent him a text, and I did to him what was done to me, fancy rowing the Atlantic. And he went, yes, I'll phone you tomorrow. And then from there, it's been amazing.
Isn't it funny in life sometimes how a moment is stuck in your head? So you were sat in Nando's and you were on the bus to...
Obviously, I knew about Sean's row because we've been in touch for a while now, haven't we?
Yeah.
Because my wife, Rachel, her mum and dad live in Dorset, so I spend a lot of time down there now. So we've got reacquainted and we spend a lot of time with each other down there.
But, nice.
I'm spending Christmas down there, aren't we, this year? Because we always go down at Christmas and summer to see her mum and dad.
Did you have to think much about saying yes when you got your text?
No, because I wanted to do it originally. When I knew he'd set it up...
Were you gutted then when you weren't originally invited? Didn't you feel like telling him to stick it if you were plan C?
No, I understood where he was coming from. He explained the situation, and, you know, the prison officer, prisoners, they were going down that route, and I understood it. And our first corporate sponsor.
Were you?
Yeah.
He was. Yeah, nice. That's, there's a story behind that, though. We only wanted to, because me and James at the time wanted to raise some money. So my wife came up with the idea, thanks, darling, of doing a burpee challenge. And every pound we got, we'd do a burpee. Well, I was sat in the pub one Saturday afternoon, and what, shall I tell him the amount?
Or yeah, you can do.
So Johnny went, I'll give you 500 quid if you do 2 hours.
Of burpees?
So we did 2 hours. 1,380
we did. It was worth it.
That is just cruel. Because of all the exercises in the world.
He loved it.
A burpee is like the worst one after the first four. The first four feel great, don't they?
No, the first four were horrible.
So you did burpees for 2 hours?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, well worth the money.
Did you go and get involved? Did you go down and watch?
He got involved. We live streamed it. So he got involved laughing at us as we were doing it.
That's just cruel. Is there going to be any payback for that while you're rowing?
There might Probably. Be.
Yes.
There might
You've
be.
Got a plan.
Yeah.
So you're off to football, get your text, phone him next day, yes, straight away.
Yeah.
And then what?
And then I had to buy a rowing machine.
And your courses.
And then I had the courses to do. She can't just get on a boat and row. So I had, like, first aid at sea, sea survival, what else were there?
VHF.
Navigation.
Yeah, and radio.
And VHF radio.
So were you at that point, when you got the sub on, was the you knew what you were doing with the boat, where the boat was coming from, what a chunk of it was in planning already?
Yeah, so we had the boat. We had the boat at that stage, Danielle.
Yeah.
I don't like to say the boat, Danielle,
Sorry.
The beautiful Danielle. We had the boat and it was all in place at that time. It was hard. It was a really hard period. And I'd felt like I was back to square one, me and Gemma, and we'd had a lot of money invested into us through our family, friends, et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't want to let nobody down, you know, and I was thinking, there's only two ways here that it's going to go. I'm either going to get Johnny on board or I'm going to have to do this me bloody self, you know? And I would have, but it would have been, what would have been harder is not only the row itself and managing to practice on your own, and now how we found out how hard it is just to practice, it would have been the sponsorship side of it, because Johnny's, like, got some great sponsors, and I'd like to say thank you to your company, Paul.
You're Howard. Welcome.
Timber, it's great, you know. I think you were the first ones to believe, and it's not just the money. Money's really important. It's the fact that you believe in what we're doing. You're interested and believe in our message that we're getting out.
Hey, you're very welcome. It's a it's a small thing, but I do bloody believe in you both.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That was the first thing I did. The minute I got the phone call, I think it was either we discussed it on the Sunday, and it was either the Tuesday or the Wednesday. I went straight to Ed. And that was it. Ed, can you sponsor us? I want Hour of Timber to sponsor us, please.
Well, it's important that you've got people that you know. You've got people that you believe in. And I've told you, I've told you my story. I was doing a marathon the other week, and I got to 3 or 4 miles to go, and I was proper whining and bitching to myself. This was hurting, and that was hurting. And then suddenly, I don't know why, you two popped into my head, and all I could think of was, what am I bitching for? You two are doing that. You'd be ashamed of me if you could see me bitching and being grumpy about myself. So I would have. That would have helped. But honestly, it was just thinking of you two that made me think that. Short of moaning, just crack on and do it. So had you bought the boat at this point?
So you lease it, basically.
Okay.
So after the event, she'll go back to the company.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, but no, we still had a whole lot of money to raise on Danielle.
How many has she been across the Atlantic before then?
She has, yes. Don't ask me how many times.
I think Chris said three.
Three times?
Yeah, she's been across a couple of times at least. Yeah.
So she's experienced then?
She's a good old girl.
Nice.
Yeah, she's a good old girl. Yeah.
I just said old.
Yeah.
Is it old? Is she old?
She's old, yeah. So when you look at all the other boats, they're all a new shape now, and they're sort of the hull underneath is rounded. And ours is more pointed. And we were looking at them, weren't we, when she got shipped last Friday. And we were like, why? And Chris went, he said, the thing is, these new boats, you know, if the conditions are perfect, the boats are good. But if they're not perfect, you want to be on your boat uh-huh. because she's a lot more stable, etc., etc., etc. Things don't break so easy. A lot more of these modern boats, they've got electric rudders. Yeah. They get stuck or they broke and then the row's off. So we haven't got none of that to worry about. So,
Give us some stats of the row. How long is it going to take? How far is it?
We're looking at doing it in 60 days, aren't we, roughly?
Yeah,
we want the 60 days.
Under that, if we can.
But we want to do it quicker as well. We're not going to break any world records. Well, not unless we have luck on our side. But
how far is it?
It's 3,200 miles. Is that? I think that's in a straight line, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're doing more than that.
We're not going in a straight line.
So just quickly, I know you were telling me this before we started. It seemed bizarre to me. Just talk us through the route.
Well, we set off from Lanzarote, and we'll be given coordinates weather-dependent. It all depends on the weather. And basically, we're trying to get down to the trade winds, which will help us, hopefully, touch wood, get across. But we could end up down near Cape Verde and then across, or we could, basically, depending on the weather, go straight across. Mm. It all depends.
So you see, the plan is go south.
Yeah.
How do you know when to hang a right and start to...
So, well, we had a webinar last Sunday, and it's a combination. There's this guy, I can't remember his name, Simon was his first name, Simon Rowell, I think. He said he will give us updates every day on a day's weather and a five-day forecast.
Right.
It's a two-way thing. So if we're, literally feeling the wind a little bit, because he said you will start feeling that trade wind blowing in the right direction, you need to let him know as well. So it's a combination of him telling us weather forecasts and keep going south and you'll soon be there, and a combination of us feeding what we are actually experiencing.
And then
that
the trade
time.
Winds go across.
And the trade winds, that's what they've been using for hundreds of years before they had engines that take you down.
Don't get me wrong, this Simon, he doesn't just do it for ocean rowers. He does it for the GB teams on the big sailing ships all that sort of stuff.
So you can trust him.
Yeah, he knows his stuff. He's got some kit.
You go across the Atlantic and make land at
Antigua.
At a certain port in Antigua.
Jolly Harbour.
So it's not just hit an island and stop.
Ocean rowers, we found, is a little bit of blasé-ness about them.
Yeah.
It kind of suits me. Johnny's a little bit more, not of a worrier, but more.
You like
more
to be
serious.
A bit more precise and know what's what.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's why we make a good combination, because I just go, come on, let's do it. And Johnny goes, well, let's think about it a minute. He says you'll get down into the trade wind and then you sort of row westish for a little while until you're about 500 miles away. Then you need to start pinpointing.
Of where you're going.
Because otherwise it's too hard to keep going, right, Antigua needs to be on this bearing, this bearing, this bearing. And then he said, because it would be awfully embarrassing. He said, it's not happened yet, but if you rowed straight past the island, wouldn't it? I was thinking, oh, no, please don't be the first.
What's the island after Antigua?
I don't know.
Not Australia, is it? just keep going. Tell me a bit about the boat. What's the key pieces of equipment that are on it? I am intrigued about the sleeping side of things and what you're going to do. Fill us in on the boat.
Well, the boat's, is it 24 foot?
Yeah.
24 foot long. It's got a pod at the front, a pod at the back. We'll be sleeping in the one at the back, which is the bigger one. And when I say bigger, it's not massive.
Do you mean less small?
Yeah.
It is tiny. The front pod basically will be storage, but you won't believe the amount of food we've put on it. It's a packet down in walking last Friday.
720,000 calories we've got on there. And that's before our run. So we're up to nearly double that.
So it's 7,200 calories?
No, 720,000. Awesome. So we needed to pack 4,500 calories each per day. So 9,000 calories per day for 80 days.
Ration packs, I'm assuming?
Yeah, so we've got a mixture. We've got mostly freeze-dried stuff, because that's lighter and you can get more of it on the boat. They're 1,000 calories a pop, so you whack the water in, heat your water up. You can do them cold, but they're better warm.
Yeah.
Heat the water up, whack the water in. They hydrate after 5 minutes. You chuck that down your neck because it's just fuel on the boat. We've got wet rations as well, which is, they're a bit heavier. And they're not so calorie dense, so they're not as good, but they're right. a bit tastier, and they're a bit of a treat for us on board. And we've also got snack packs which contain pork scratchings, salted peanuts, high calorie stuff. You know, your sweeties, chocolate, all that nuts. Kind of stuff. We're not roughing it. There's some good food there. Yeah. Some good food there, but.
But you can only get so many calories in when you're exercising, can't you?
You can't. You never feel like eating. Yeah, no, you don't feel like eating. But we're going to have to force ourselves. And being in the Marines, the buddy-buddy system, in oppos, as we were, we watch each other's back. So I'm going to have to keep an eye on Johnny and go, you know, we're going to have to nag. What have you ate today, mate? If you're feeling a bit your energy, what have you... You need to eat.
Well, it's just a vicious cycle, isn't it? Because you need the energy to be able to row. If you're not... rowing, you're going to be...
That's right.
Going
backwards, aren't you? You're not going to be doing that there.
They were basically the rules of the Atlantic Dash. Because originally we were doing it Chris Martin, weren't we?
Yeah.
When you say Chris Martin, we're not talking Coldplay Chris Martin.
No,
another Chris Martin.
No, he's the owner of Danielle. He's the owner of Danielle. Okay. But he does look a bit like him. He does.
But he's done the Pacific and the Atlantic.
Has he?
Yeah.
Also, if you need to have somebody on your side who really knows what they're talking
whenever
about.
Whenever we speak to someone else, they all know Chris Martin and go... If he doesn't know it, it's not.
You're not
going to
know.
No.
How much rum?
One bottle.
We've only got one bottle at the moment.
Might just top it up though.
And that's all down to naval tradition.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with us. It's naval tradition.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed on the water.
Well, you know, we wouldn't be in the Royal
Marines. Well, to be fair, we got sent it, didn't we?
We did.
Okay, because of the Marines as well. Your pod at the back where you're going to sleep, how big is it? You're quite tall, Johnny.
I'm 6 foot and I can lay out in it. My head's up against the rear of the boat, and my feet are touching the door nearly. But if I were any bigger, I'd be curled up. But I can stretch out in it.
Our first overnighter, Paul, we decided that we'd sleep top and tail in just this one.
Together?
We were kicking each other in the head all night, right? Nearly fighting by about 3 a.m. Every time we moved, we was kicking each other.
Is that what you're referencing, that you've had a couple of fallouts on the way to getting to where you are now?
Yeah, but the thing is, when we fall out, we both want to be dead right in what we're doing. Oh. So not when he's right or I'm right. We want what we're doing to be right and safe.
Very good.
So if we fall out, we're both wanting it for the right reasons.
So is that one of your worst experiences so far, then, topping and tailing with each other?
We learnt from that.
And the other one, when the wind changed.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, tell us more.
We were down in Amble. We'd been out in the Solent, just basically training, rowing. The wind picked up, so we decided to go upriver. So we went up the river. Bearing in mind, at Amble, the river's, about 4 mile long, so you can't go any further, and it's just a massive marina. I've never seen anything like it in my life before. And we were rowing up. We spotted a pub, didn't we? Called in, a couple of pints of Guinness, back on the boat.
That'll go into the calories.
Calorie intake, very important.
Hydration.
That's our excuse anyway. Yeah. But a couple of pints of Guinness, back on the boat. We carried on rowing, and then you were rowing back, weren't you?
Yeah.
And the weather just changed. Couldn't stop in a straight line. It was that choppy, that rough. But you're looking at all, everyone says, what are you bothered about? You're going to be in middle Atlantic. Yeah, but you haven't got £1 million yacht at side of you. On both sides.
No.
So we started rowing up and it got that bad. We basically had to just pull up at one of these floating jetties and just tie off.
And hang on.
And hang on, basically. We were stuck there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just couldn't get to land.
Nah.
How many nights have you spent on the boat?
We've done a few overnighters now to get some bit of training in and a bit of experience. And we've been out on the Solent and we've both gone, can you hear that? Can you see that? And this big light come along and there's a ship about 100 metres from us and it was like a party ship. And they're all discoing, weren't they? Discoing. We could see, and I thought, they have no idea. We're in this 24-foot boat and they're just partying and you could see them all dancing and it was just mad. It was just mad.
I guess in the sea, a 24-foot boat, it's nothing, is it?
No.
It's like...
No, we weren't there to anybody else, you know, so...
Have you been close to getting hit by anything?
Not yet.
We'd be right in the Atlantic. I'm assuming you go a route where there aren't
we've many been boats. Told, because obviously we've now spoken to a lot of Atlantic rowers, and it's not a very busy shipping lane. So they've said we'll see a few, But it's not like when Brucey said he did the North Atlantic, you see lots and lots of ships. But we've got a bit of kit on board called AIS, and she will beep up to the other ship. So we will be seen.
You can set the distance on it as well. So you can have it set to five nautical miles, two nautical miles, or close up, basically.
And an alarm will go off.
Yeah, and then this alarm starts beeping.
What are the key bits of equipment that are on then?
GPS.
Yeah, GPS, desalinator. So we've got to make our water from the sea. It's an electric machine. You turn it on and it turns the seawater into fresh water.
Yeah.
And we've been told it's actually that good. It strips any goodness that you've got in the water, strips out. So we've got electrolytes to resupply our body with the salt and what have you that we'll be losing.
So it's GPS.
Desalinator.
Anything else?
Life rafts, quite important. Hopefully we won't see it. An EPIRB, which is a piece of kit that if the poo hits the fan and we do have to go over the side and get in the life raft, we grab the EPIRB and it's basically sends a satellite signal up and then we can get rescue. There's some good high-tech stuff. We've got the solar power panels on board. We can listen to the radio and stuff and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not going to be all
slogging away. No,
we'll have some tunes on through the night when Johnny's asleep. I'll be blasting it out. Bit of Bob Marley.
Imagine that. Don't you like reggae?
Oh, I don't mind a bit.
Not when you're trying to sleep.
Trying to sleep after 40 nights at sea with Bob Marley. Yeah. What happens if something breaks?
You've got to repair it. I think that's where I come in. That's why he's dragged me on board.
I'm okay. Johnny's good.
Oh.
So in the Marines, you gravitate to sort of, if things go wrong, people are good at certain stuff, you do what you're good at, and other people revert to what they're good at. And that's what me and Johnny are a good team. So basically, if it was something complicated, it was Johnny's shift to row, I'd say, give me the oars, I'll do your shift, you fix the boat.
You said the boat's got an older hull?
Yeah.
Keel?
Yeah, it's more of a V-shape.
So it's more stable.
Yeah.
Didn't look very stable in that video when you were capsizing the blooming thing.
Well, that's because it had me and Johnny pulling it over.
Quite surprised at how easy we got it over.
That was my point. It didn't look like it took a lot of tugging to flip.
As part of the rules for this Atlantic Dash, you have to prove that your boat self-rights, right? And we'd had a couple of meetings with Billy Taylor, who's the sort of boss man at Atlantic Dash. And again, the blaseness, we said, how do we do it? We've never done nothing like this. How do we do it? Well, you get a crane. And I went, whoa. What? So you just phoned Bob down the road and he gets a crane. And I just said to we Googled it and YouTubed it and we seen somebody that had done it themselves. And I went, Johnny, that's what we're doing. Next time we go down to Hamble, we'll do it. And we looked at the tide times, et cetera, and Sunday afternoon, there was a slack tide. So that means the tide had just come in. It weren't coming in and it weren't coming out.
Yeah,
so we tied off on a pontoon and said, let's just do it. What's the worst that can happen? Johnny thought we'd sink the boat. And I said, no, the worst that can happen is just going to sit upside down. So we pulled it over and she came up lovely.
Amazing. It did look very easy going over there when you're watching it. Oh, the things you've got to do.
I know.
You've talked about it's been a lot of hard work getting the boat ready. Anything that really stands out?
The pressures of raising the money is sort of relentless. You know, you never think you're going to do it, you know. But all of a sudden with this, it's just all hit into place. Everybody, as it's got closer, everybody's gone, these lads ain't chatting nonsense. They're actually going to do it, you know. And I can certainly feel, like you said, that you believe in us, Paul. I can feel it from everyone else, you know. And it really helps. It really does. You know, I go down my local supermarket at home on Portland and my daughter hates it when we're buying a meal deal because someone will go, Sean, how's it going? How's the training going? How's it? And she just walks on, you know, because it's like I'm a sort of, not a celebrity, but everybody knows what's going on, in my local area. And we can really feel that support, and it means a lot.
And people as well, ex-bootnecks, ex-Royal Marines, who have actually done the Atlantic, have been in touch just because they don't know me, but because we've served in the Royal Marines, they've been in touch and the generosity of lending us stuff or even giving it. We got some waterproofs off an ex-Marine.
Yeah.
Which has saved us a lot of money. It saves us like £1,000.
And the boat's all packed. It's on its way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's on the water now. She's on the ship on her way to Lanzarote as we speak.
And is it all fully packed and ready to... Literally, you could drop it in the sea and off you go?
Well, no, because we've rammed our stuff in.
We'll have to sort it out when we get there, but...
All kits on there, all the food, all our technical kit, our clothing, everything like that. But we were just told, just ram it in, and then we've got 3 weeks in Lanzarote to sort her out properly.
Are Rachel and Gemma coming over to make sure you pack it properly?
Yeah.
Make our beds and stuff.
And make a list and all that kind of thing. Yeah. Do you want to start telling the story of where you both first met?
I started off, I left school, and I went into the construction industry. Started working for my Uncle Bob, Robert Towers, and hated every minute of it. It's not like it is now. Back then, when you were an apprentice, you got bullied.
You had it, didn't you?
You got bullied all the time, whether it was being chucked in the plasterer's water buckets, plaster being thrown all over you, sent all over site, picking stuff up.
Tartan paint.
Yeah, tartan paint, skirting board ladder, all that. I got bullied like mad, and I hated it. Hated it. After about 12 months of doing it, I walked off site and thought, what else can I do? And I walked down into Blackburn Town Centre at the time. The Navy Army Careers Office were in Blackburn Town Centre. It's moved now. It's not there anymore. And I walked in. And I actually wanted to join the Navy, but as a tiffer, an artificer.
Right.
Because my cousin were doing it. Anyway, I'm that thick, mate. I failed the exam. I failed the test, so... I said, what else can I do? You can join Marines. Right, go on, then I'll do that. And it all went on from there. Ended up down at Limpston, passed out of training, and I went up to a mortar troop at 4-5 Commando up in Arbroath. And Sean was attached to us as a driver, and that's how we got...
That was when you first met?
First met,
so what was, basically. So what was your story then, Sean? To get to that point in Arbroath.
So, me and Johnny are from, like, opposite ends of the country. I'm from, as you can probably tell by my accent...
Yeah, only just Johnny, eh?
Yeah, I'm from the south coast of England, and a bit different to Johnny. I grew up on a council estate down on the south coast. Was a bit of a naughty lad, didn't like school, etc., etc. Could have easily gone a different route, shall we say, but decided. I seen these... guys that looked well hard, what I thought, on telly, and they were all Marines. And from that day, that's all I wanted to do. And as soon as I left school, I'd done all my tests that Johnny was on about. I did them when I was in, what was the fifth year, now year 11.
Right, yeah.
I did them at school, and I left school in June and joined up in August. Passed out of training, went up to 4-5 Commando, and was firstly attached to mortar troop, as Johnny said, and then went over to mortar troop myself. And then we ended up going round the world a little bit, a couple of tours together, and got up to some good stuff. Probably not talk about a lot of it.
Not for you.
But yeah, and then, yeah, that's where we first met, and we were like, I suppose, 18, 17, 18.
So where did you do your tours?
Done Iraq, haven't we? Norway, Belize, loads of med trips.
Northern Ireland. Yeah, Northern Ireland. Yeah, yeah.
When would that have been? During the Troubles back in the
1994, weren't it?
And I went 96. When I was out in Ireland at the time, there was a peaceful time, and I got 2 weeks R&R to go home, and it kicked off again. So I was in the middle of my 2 weeks. It kicked off again. They blew up. The IRA blown up Canary Wharf.
All right, yeah.
So we all got called back, and I went off and had to say me goodbyes and off back to the Troubles.
You've seen some stuff then?
Yeah, seen a little bit.
In your times.
Yeah.
And then I suppose that just ran its time and you both left?
Yeah, well, Sean, you went down to 40, didn't you?
Yeah.
He went down to 40 Commando. I ended up getting married, which you met my first wife, Lorraine, didn't you?
Mm.
And... she moved up to Arbroath, hated it, moved back to Blackburn and basically gave me an ultimatum.
Come out or
we're getting divorced. So I came out, and then three years later I got divorced anyway.
And did you come out at the same time?
I think I left... me and Johnny weren't in touch at this time, so I left beginning of 97. So it was about the
same time. Yeah, about the same time.
Yeah.
So you'd come out, you went back into construction, I guess?
Yeah, well, when you're coming out of the forces, you get to do all these different courses, which they pay for, so you take advantage of it. I did a rope access course for working offshore, but every time I applied for a job back then, it were experience needed, because I applied to like Shell and companies like that. So I ended up back in finishing my apprenticeship and back in construction again.
Did you set up yourself straight away, or was it?
No, I worked for Tarmac.
Oh, okay.
I worked for Tarmac for a bit, and then I worked for a company over in Staley Bridge doing new builds for Bellway Homes.
Okay. Had it changed much between since you've been in the army? Were you still bullied and plasterers back?
No.
I'd imagine you'd be doing the bullying at that point.
It changed then, didn't it?
It's all the circle of life, isn't it?
Yeah. I did work for Bellway for a lot of years, especially over in Manchester and Liverpool.
Yeah.
Working for that company, Shandos Construction it were, which then they decided they wanted like site managers, the company on the particular sites. I ended up being one of them. And then one day I just thought, I can do this myself.
And that was it.
And I ended up setting up a company, knew enough QSs at Bellway to get my foot through the door and did it that way.
Nice.
And then housing, it just dropped, didn't it, at that time. And I was like, what am I going to do now? So I just started doing the private sector then.
Nice.
And I've been busy
ever
since.
And that's been doing that since. That's good. You came out and into the prison service?
Not straight away, no. I did lorry driving for a bit. I hated it. Like, I really didn't like it. And then from there, seen an advert in the local paper, which don't sort of happen now. It's all online.
Yeah.
And there's where I live, there was three prisons at the time. There's now two, and it's a big employer in our area. So I thought I'd do that. So joined the prison service, became a physical training instructor in the prison service. So working in the gym and working with lads in the gym.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. And then you finished with that now, and you've got your own carpet.
Yeah, got my own small carpet fitting business down in Portland in Dorset with me daughter, worked with me daughter, JD.
Really?
Yeah. She's one of two carpet fitters in the Dorset area.
Amazing.
She's very proud of that.
How do you get on working with your daughter?
Mostly all right, but we do bicker. We're a bit like me and Johnny. Me and Johnny are like brothers, and we bicker. So, and we will bicker on the boat. There will we will bicker on the boat. But what we don't do is hold grudges against each other, and it's never personal.
Yeah.
Between me and Johnny, we'll have our little disagreements.
Yeah.
Like we already have, but the next day it's like, right, done. Let's get on with it.
And then who's the boss when you're carpet fitting, you or your daughter?
Mostly my daughter.
Yes, that was obvious. Didn't even need asking. Had either of you rowed on the sea?
No.
Before you started this, so you've literally started from.
I've rowed. Because I live on the coast, I live on the south coast. I've always grown up on on beaches and stuff. So I've had a go at fishing boats and stuff like that, but not an ocean rowing boat. And it's completely different than any boat that I've ever had a go at rowing. So no, I would never say I'm an experienced rower.
And the only rowing
I've done in Blackburn, there's not a lot of sea about.
No.
But me and Rachel had got quite big into paddleboarding.
Oh, right, yeah.
We got to Ullswater quite a bit doing that.
Yeah.
But when I was asked to do it and I bought the Concept 2, I got on that. I did 20 minutes on it. I thought, Jesus Christ, what have I got myself in for? But when I actually got on the boat and rowed downhill, it's totally different anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know why I bothered with Concept 2.
I've got a Concept 2. Have you had many blisters? Well, you're on your hands, will you? Because you've got builder's hands.
No, but rowing Danielle, I did.
Yeah.
Even you with your builder's hands?
Yeah, and me, yeah. Builder's hands too, but
couldn't believe the amount of blisters I got just from rowing.
Are they Atlantic
calloused.
Ready now?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I still think we're blister up, but they'll callous over. And we've got Compede, so we'll put that on. Yeah. We've got some gloves.
And your blood, isn't it?
Exactly.
Blood and skin.
Yeah, exactly.
So how have you gone from like not setting foot in the sea to being ready to go? You've trained a bit on a Concept 2.
Well, when you're in the Marines, you do a lot of crossings on boats anyway. You do your rigid raiders training and stuff like that. So I'm used to being on a boat. My mum and dad God bless them, when they were here. We used to have a speedboat anyway up at lakes. Done a bit of water skiing and stuff like that. So I'm used to water, but, yeah, but not going in the Atlantic.
How have you got water fit for it then?
So what I would say is rowing the Atlantic's not physical. It's 20% physical, 80% right. mental.
Yeah.
So it's about mindset.
Yeah.
Me and Johnny have been in the Marines and done commando training. We've been hungry, cold, wet, tired, and giving up and quitting has never been an option. And that's kind of what we found out that Atlantic rowing is. You're going to be tired, fed up, had enough, missing home, like what you was on your row.
Yeah.
Shut up, moaning don't get you nowhere, Paul. Feeling sorry for yourself gets you nowhere. Have a little moment, think about your family and friends at home, think about everybody supporting you. We're not letting them down. Let's keep going.
Yeah. That's fantastic advice.
And the way I look at it, it's got to be easier than roofing in this time of year.
It's Lancashire now, isn't it? What will the temperature fluctuations be like?
Lanzarote is probably going to be about 18, 20 degrees at that time of year. You will get rain, probably. You'll get wind. It'll cool down at nights. Mm. But the further we go across, the
then
warmer it's going to be.
Yeah, then you start getting temperature.
Mm. I reckon Caribbean side will be 40-odd degrees.
Mm. The heat's the problem.
Is it at that end?
Yeah.
Right then, so for me and the audience who really haven't got a clue what a day on the Atlantic looks like, what's the rowing pattern?
2 hours on, 2 hours off. And you maintain that unless there's any bad weather.
Are you doing that for 60 days?
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, in the ocean rowing world, they've come up with this, because it's been going on over 20 years, people have been rowing, doing these silly rows. That's what they've, any more than that, if you do 3 hours on, 3 hours off, they find that your body can't keep that 3 hours going. So you fatigue. But you're 2 hours, and 2 hours on, 2 hours off, your body comes to a state of tiredness that you can just about manage.
Yeah.
So that's why they do it.
I guess you can probably refuel the 2 hours of energy.
Yeah.
You can have no longer than 2 hours sleep.
No.
At one go for 60
that'd be,
days.
That'd be maximum. Unless there's a storm.
And then you just cuddle up, you two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. We put out a parachute anchor so we don't get blown off course too far or lose too much distance, and put yourself in the pod, seal the pod, and start praying. Get the rum out.
That is the priority, though. No matter what, we have to seal that pod.
Yeah.
We have to keep it sealed at all time.
Yeah.
When we're both on deck, it's going to have to be sealed. When you go in to sleep, you're going to have to seal it behind you.
Mm.
Because if water gets in that, the bottle,
you've wet.
It won't rewrite.
Okay.
The two main things, Paul, is so obviously you've got to open the hatch to come out.
Yep.
You open the hatch. We've got these clips that we clip from our harnesses to the boat.
Yep.
That's the first thing you do.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
Close the hatch. Right. So then you know I'm safe. The boat's not going to sink. Right. And then we can deal
then
with
do whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
How do you think you'll handle the sleep? Because if it's 2 hours, 2 hours on, you're not going to get 2 hours sleep, are you? Because
nope.
It's going to take you
no
20 minutes, half hour to
and
just
get you've got to eat, you've got to do your ablutions, you know, so.
During the day, you're not going to sleep anyway, are you? I wouldn't have thought, unless you're absolutely drained and you're going to have jobs to do. But at night, well, I'll be out like a light anyway.
Mm.
You could sleep anywhere. Yeah. One of those people who can just shut your eyes and sleep anywhere.
Definitely.
I think we'd be that fatigued, we'd just go straight off through the night. Obviously, through the day, like Johnny says, we'll have jobs, but we still have downtime and stuff. Johnny's took his fishing rod and convinced we're going to catch a tuna.
Oh, my God.
Because the girls caught it.
That's the way, isn't it? After
he's took a frying pan.
I bought a frying pan.
Have you done any training testing on the two-hour sleep thing?
No. I think Johnny's the same as me. We've done this in the Marines, you know, when you go through, when we're on exercise or we're on an operational tour, you don't get no sleep then.
No.
So you might be wet, you might be cold, you might even be lucky and be hungry and thirsty as well. But moaning and groaning don't make it no better. And we've signed up for this. So if we want that special moment in Antigua that's going to be amazing, it's what we've got to do. It's going to be hard and we're going to be tired, but we've just got to do it.
Your body gets used to it, don't it?
Mm.
It's like in the roofing world. I'll go out and sweat to get a job finished in the rain. Not a problem. You get wet and you were told this in the Marines, your skin's waterproof.
Yeah.
You just got to crack on and do it, Paul. You know what I mean?
You have a fantastic attitude. It really is. It's an honour to be sat here listening
we're
to you.
We're saying all this, but we'll both be crying after 2 days.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Bitching and whining. Well, just think of me. Like you inspired me. Think of me sat here saying, right, don't fucking, do not quit. Hey, listening, Johnny Towers.
I'll be honest now, Paul, I'll tell you. The only thing that'll stop us getting to Antigua is the boat.
Yeah.
If the boat...
I believe that. Mother
Nature.
Yeah.
If anything happens to that boat and we don't make it, it's not through us wanting to do it.
Yeah.
Because as long as everything goes to plan, we will get there.
Yeah. Well, you know I believe in you, as well as all them...
We do, mate.
As well
Thank
as all
you.
Them others.
Everyone does. Everyone does. They know what we're like.
Mm. Who's going to lose it first? When you're sleep deprived and getting a bit
grumpy. It'll be him. Be Johnny. Because I'll be winding him up as well. I'll be after the... Do you know, in the Marines, you call it a flash. If someone flashes, they've lost their temper.
Yeah.
And you always try and get the lads, your mates, to flash.
To go, yeah.
So when I've been speaking to a few of the boys, they've been saying it's going to be Johnny who's going to flash first, and I went absolutely, because I'm going to make sure he does. Yeah.
Okay. So in the purpose of friendship, you do have a right to reply. Would you like to?
He's probably right. he does wind me up at times.
But the good thing is there's no surprises.
No.
You know it's coming, you know what you're going to do. Yeah. It's perfect. Who's got the worst habits that are likely to cause stress?
Oh, I don't know. We're both in our 50s now, and I think when you hit that certain age, you like things doing a certain way, don't you? So I've got ways that I do, and it winds my wife up. So I'm sure we're going to wind each other up, but things need to be done how you want to do it. But we've just got to be a little bit understanding of each other, ever, I think.
Johnny?
Yeah, the same. I'm very OCD with the house being cleaned at home. Rachel and kids will tell you I'm constantly bollocking them for leaving lice on and stuff like that. And not putting the stuff in the dishwasher. But we haven't lived together for 8 years and years. Mm. Well, God, we're going back to 90s.
Do you have problem, just the dishwasher thing, do you have problems with how people stack it?
Yeah, it winds me up.
It's got to be done a certain way.
Even Missy, she just chucks it in.
Oh.
I think a good thing that we'll... that it stand us in good stead from the Marines, as well as a lot of other things. In the Marines, when you're on exercise or on a tour and you're doing something, you've got to make sure once you finish with it, you stow it away. Well, that's what Atlantic rowing is. You can't leave stuff lying around. Because if you go over and you lose a piece of kit, that could be your life support, you know? So I think we'd both be really good and on each other, and rightly so. Johnny, get that away. Sean, get that away. And rightly so. And that's how it's got to be.
Yeah, I was umming and ahhing at this next question, but I feel like we can go into these areas. Toilet. Obviously, going for a wee is all right because there's a lot of sea, but what about...
Like I said, Paul, you wouldn't believe how technically gifted these boats are. So inside which is the one we sleep in? The big pod,
the small pod,
inside there, we've got two buckets.
Oh,
and you get them out onto deck, and you wash in one, and you do the business in the other one. And you know, let's just say I want to get Johnny to flash. Well, there's an opportunity here, isn't there? Because I could do the number twos in Johnny's wash bucket.
You mean you in your own wash bucket as well?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, just to be part of the team.
Have you got two buckets each then?
No, just two buckets. Just two buckets.
Will there be any rules about going to the toilet whilst the other one's rowing? Do you have to wait till it's your turn?
Well, I think when you want to go, you want
to go.
We've seen each other poo, mate.
So you're all right.
We're safe with that, mate.
Well, I'm pleased we've covered that. I'm sure the audience...
No, that's a really common question.
Really, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh. Radio Lancashire asked me that one as well.
Oh, I'm sorry for being predictable. I thought I'd been dead original there, the big podcast host with all the clever questions. Chafing. Has anybody asked you about chafing?
No.
We've been warned about it, and I get it quite a bit sometimes if I do long cycle rides. But
we're going to get sore asses. We're on that. It's a pad. You know a concept too. So the seat we've got is the same shape, but it's padded. But we've got three of them, and we've been told to rotate them every few days because the sores are going into different areas of your bum. But when we've been taken out by Brucey, he's been showing us pictures of when he's done the Atlantic of his bottom, and it ain't a nice sight. I mean, bottoms are not the greatest sight anyway, of big hairy bums. But then they're not gonna look great. But again, it's just one of them things.
Do you know? I once rode a marathon on my Concept 2, and yeah. I got a blister on me. But you know, you're coccyx.
Yeah, yeah. Where you lean back.
Where you lean back. And then I realised that for the 2 or 3 years prior, the cushion that the Concept 2 cushion that I'd got, I was using it the wrong way around. Mm. I was putting it with the V to the front because it felt natural, but it's the other way around, isn't
That's
it?
Right,
so that
yeah.
the V
yeah.
is where you yeah. coccyx comes
That's
from.
Right.
Did you know that? Or have you been rowing it with the wrong way around?
No, mine's the right way around.
That's all right, yeah. I've seen documentaries on Atlantic rowing. I think this is why I'm really interested in this. And I've seen where people have through chafing and being wet and sweating and whatever, that they've been rowing naked in the end because stuff's rubbing. Mm. Have you?
Be told we'd probably do that.
You're going to pole up after 60 days, and everybody, Antigua's going to see you start bollock naked. Is that?
They might get a chance.
Well, me and Johnny, I know you've followed some of our social media, so we've got a little gimmick thing, Dixie and Drillia.
Oh no, I'm not seeing that.
So have you not seen me and Johnny in drag? So it's a
Dixie
and Drillia. So there may or may not be a little bit of that going on at sea, and you know the first people to wear a dress at the beginning and the end. So
well, good luck.
It's Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, we've got a few roses on board.
That's fantastic.
We've got date night that night. It's date night.
Yeah. How far will you be in then? Like a month in?
Yeah, we'd be a month in, so we'd be like getting on for
halfway. I'll be interested with that date night after a month.
We're going to look beautiful, aren't we?
Flashing each other up. Are you going to film anything while you...
We've got a Starlink.
Have you?
So, yeah, the plan is to get
keep
as much footage.
Social media going.
Yeah, keep that social media going.
That's fantastic.
We want people to see it.
Yeah.
From back home, from where we live, the kids and everybody else who's invested and believes in us, we want them to see it.
Yeah, that's superb. Mm. Oh, that's really... really good. Are you going to keep in touch with families?
Yeah, yes. The guy who I'm learning, because I'm learning next month how to use this Starlink, and I've been told it's quite simple, so that's good. He said you will get a better signal in the middle of the Atlantic, Wi-Fi signal, than what you will in your front room, because it just goes up to the satellites, so we'll be able to FaceTime home. And I don't mean this in a horrible way. Our mission is to get to Antigua. So we will be phoning our families, but I don't want to be phoning them every day because I want to get the miles
get,
in.
Get it.
And also, when you get tired and cold and wet, I get emotional.
Yeah.
And I'm an emotional guy as well. And I don't want to spend every blimmin' day crying on Johnny's, oh, I love my family, I miss... So you kind of switch off from that.
Get into work mode almost.
Yeah,
rowing mode. Okay. What do your families think? Because obviously all the attention's been on you two, and rightly so, but... You know, you've got Rachel and Gemma who have played this massive part behind the scenes. You've got kids. How do they feel about it all?
I don't think it's sank in, really, with the kids. Perfect example, the other day, before I went down to walking on the Thursday night, I was packing everything up and I got Tony and Lucy. And they both had lists and we're going through it all, make sure I had it all. And Lucy went, when you go in? I said, January. Well, that's only 7 weeks off. I went, yeah, I know. Oh, my God. You're going so soon. Why? So it is finally sinking in. But they're impressed. They're proud of it. They're proud of me.
I'm sure they are.
They keep telling all their mates. And as for Rachel, I don't know what's going around in her head. She's totally 100% committed to it. She's organising everything on my side of it. Bringing Gemma, texting Gemma, sorting out the social media on LinkedIn. She does all that, but... I don't know what's going on, whether she's worried or not. I couldn't tell you. She's not said anything to me.
Same, yeah. So I've got two daughters and a stepson, and they're all mega, mega behind it. Really proud. And I just keep saying, we ain't done it yet. We ain't done it yet. I'm impressed that we've made it this far and we've got to the start line. And I really am. And people might think, well, you know, it's about rowing the Atlantic. But as I said, it's not. It's about getting to the start line.
Yeah.
So, and my daughter was sat in a pub a few weeks back, and she said, Dad, you'll never... And on the Monday, she went, Dad, you'll never believe this. I was sat in the beer garden. This is when it was nice and warm. And she said, there was these young lads about my age, 22, and they were saying, yeah, have you seen that guy, the local guy, rowing the Atlantic? And she said, that's my dad. And they went, you're joking. So they, it was like, it's that's how much it's got round and the people are invested. And she said, follow him on. And they went, yeah, we all do. We all do. We can't believe he's mad doing this. So, yeah, my family are dead proud. Gemma is worried and she said she is worried. And that's only natural. Me and Johnny will be, you know, deep down. We're excited. But there is a worry. It could be dangerous, bad things and horrible things might happen. But overall, the support has been amazing, absolutely amazing. It's been humbling, really humbling.
Now you're doing it for charity. You're raising money for Care After Combat and Samaritans. Why those two charities?
Well, originally, obviously, I weren't involved in it, and they were the charities that Sean picked.
Yep.
But I understand why he picked Care After Combat, both of us obviously being veterans, but you can explain the reason why he picked it.
So I'm big into the mental health and helping people with mental health. I'm a facilitator at Andy's Man Club. In both of these fit the bill, you know, they're charities that help people at their lowest. So with the Samaritans, you can phone them any time of day, you know, and I've spoke to a lot of people that volunteer for Samaritans, and the work they do is incredible. You know, they literally do stop people taking their own lives, you know, and that's me and Johnny have a few weeks ago, an ex-Marine that we know took his own life. And it's too much going on, Paul, you know, and I just want to do, if we can do our little bit to stop that happening, then that's what we need to do it. And we need to raise as much cash as we can for them two charities and as much awareness for them as well.
How much are you hoping to raise?
Oh, well, we've got 4,500 so far, which is great.
Yep.
But we're hoping to, that goes double figures and goes big, you know. We're going to be keeping them socials going.
Yep.
We think we're a little bit different than your average. And I don't mean this in a horrible way. We're a bit different. We like to have a bit of fun, and we're going to be wearing dresses and stuff like that. And we want to send this to as many people as we can from our backgrounds and our followers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully tens of thousands we want to raise.
You've got a fundraising page.
We've got GiveStar is the fundraising page. We've got a GoFundMe one as well.
If
anybody wants to donate on our GiveStar, I wouldn't know what it's called.
Well, what we'll do is we'll get those off you, and we'll put them on the episode page for this, and then when we promote the episode, we'll fire those out.
We've got a YouTube channel as well and Facebook and TikTok, so if we can get all that on there that'd be great.
We'll put all the links.
Thank you.
We'll put all the links on. If someone's inspired by your story, what advice would you give them for taking on a big challenge or a big dream event like this?
Everyone says it's a rich man's sport, and it is. Am I right, Sean?
Yeah.
It is. You look at the people that have done it, and they come from, like, quite wealthy backgrounds, and they've got money behind them. To get where we've got now is basically down to the likes of yourselves, Howe of Timber, Blackman Chemicals, companies like that, Drumgrange. We wouldn't be where we are now without the sponsorship, because I haven't got that sort of money, and I know Sean hasn't.
Yeah.
So it is definitely more of a rich person's sport, and we're just out to prove you can do it, anyone can do it.
Yeah, definitely, and I would say, don't let people say that you can't do it. So I've done lots of silly challenges in endurance stuff, and they say, why are you doing it? And I say, why not? Because I can, because, you know, and if some... What really spurs me on is great having all these believers and these people that really believe in us, but what really, really spurs me on is the doubters.
Oh.
So all the doubters out there, I don't know, thank you. You're going to get me and Johnny to Antigua. So I would say, don't let the doubters stop you following your dreams, mate.
That's the first time I've ever had anybody calling people out on our podcast. Like it.
I love the doubters.
Like it.
It's love from a place of love, Paul.
Yeah.
And you get lots of them.
Yeah, you do.
Will you come back here and do a follow-up to this when you get back?
Definitely. 100%.
Because you've believed in us.
I'd love to have you back and hear all the stories, because hopefully you can tell I'm really interested in this. Proud to know you both. Well, I feel like I know you both for ages, and we've only just met physically for the first time a few hours ago, but... all the very best to you. You I think your gym is, you know, is amazing. Have a great time, because there'll be some great memories.
It's a one-off experience, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm envious of it. It's great. So well done for that. Good luck with everything. So you're starting, just let's just do the start and finish. You're starting on the
24th of January, weather
permitting, and then about 60 days. So January,
March,
February, end of March. Towards the middle end of March, you'll be finishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll look forward to seeing you in April or May back in here to hear some stories.
Yeah.
Keep the beards.
Yeah. Robinson Crusoe beards.
Robinson Crusoe
beards.
Stuff.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
My wife might not agree with that. But.
But we'll see. So that's it. Thanks for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed listening to Johnny and Sean tell their stories. If you have enjoyed the podcast, if you could like and subscribe, that would be great. That really helps us. And you could share what we're doing with some of your friends and colleagues and anybody else who might be interested. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.